Let's get into it tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm only going to try to get through verse 1 through 9 tonight, because right after that starts the armor of God, and I just knew there was no way I was going to even try to get into that tonight. And so I think I'm going to need two Wednesdays for that. So all I'm saying is you don't want to miss the next two Wednesdays. Yeah, we can hear the next two Wednesdays. You don't want to miss the next two Wednesdays. You want to bring a notepad and paper, and you want to tell your friends that's not the Wednesday to miss, because it's going to be good. I'm going to give you some really good strategies on how to always live victorious. Every day, every minute, every hour, living victorious. So you don't want to miss that. So want to get right into it tonight? Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the spirit of revelation. Okay, we're going to be in Ephesians. Pastor Don. You could be Pastor Don. I'm going to be reading mostly on the NIV, so just so you can know that to keep up. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. I was thinking I really should be in the youth teaching this tonight, right? Let me go back there and teach this after. Amen. Bring that to the youth back there. Okay, let's just talk about those three verses right there. Children, obey your parents. This command is simple. Children are to obey their parents. This not only means that children have the responsibility to obey, but parents, so I can't be back there on you, so I'm going to put it on you. Parents have the responsibility to teach our children to obey. Now, I'm going to meddle just a little bit, because this is one of the things that frustrate me about this, because we have to teach our children obedience. And a lot of times there's a saying that says, we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And so let me just say that again. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And so obedience, when I see children who are obedient, even my own children, I have to, number one, I have to correct that. That's my God-given responsibility. But number two, I have to look at my own self and say, where are they learning disobedience from? Now, we know what's in the heart. We know we all have that. We're prone to that. But I want my children to live with just an attitude of obedience. And it's not even just to me. I'm from the old school where, my mom, I say we one generation removed from crazy. Well, you were going to obey or else, right? Which ain't nothing wrong with that. I turned out to be a very good adult. So I tell my kids all the time, you're going to obey. You're going to respect me. You're going to obey me. But, it just goes beyond that too, because if we don't take our responsibility, I know we have some grandparents in here too. Do not lose your mom when you become a grandparent. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. My mama would beat the living daylights out of us, and she can't even correct them. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Correct, spank his behind, mama. Mo's mama would call me crying. I hate it, he's not listening. Spank him. I can't. What? Grandparents. Grandparents. Don't, your job is not over. You still have to teach obedience. Okay, let me get off my soap. Come be a grandparent one day, and somebody's going to tell me that, I'm sure. But listen, it's not just, I'm just going to raise these kids and be done. No, this is a lifelong thing. They don't obey you. They don't submit to you. They're not going to submit to the authorities over them. They're not going to submit to the law. They're not going to submit to their teachers. It's just not you. So Paul, I think, remember Paul is writing this like he's writing it to us here. And I think he's like, listen, I done told you how to live victorious. I done told you how to live according to your calling. I done told you how to live with other believers. Now I'm telling you how to act in your home. Teach your children to obey. And he was serious about this. And, Paul wasn't married. He didn't have kids. But I'm sure he was around enough parents to know that, hey, guys, Paul was in jail when he was writing this. He's probably like, there's some people in here who didn't teach their kids to obey, and I'm in here with them, right? So, we got to teach our kids to obey. Okay. So we have the responsibility to teach our children obedience. One of the most important jobs for a parent is to teach obedience. We need to teach our children we don't need to teach our children how to disobey, because that's just inbred in us from Adam. The inclination to sin is there at birth. But obedience has to be taught. It is essential that a parent teach a child to obey, so that the child will grow up knowing how to obey God, even when he doesn't understand everything or doesn't want to. This is what all parents' discipline of a child must come to. Disobedience must be punished so that obedience can be learned and blessed, because blessings follow obedience. So what we're really teaching our children here, guys, is that, hey, well, I'm going to teach you obedience, and I'm going to teach you how to obey even when you don't understand, because there's going to come a time in your life where you're just going to have to obey, and God may not explain. How many has that happened to you before? How many has God's ever told to do something, and there was no explanation, and it didn't make sense? My mom came by today. I kind of wish she was here so we could laugh about this with her, but she was from, you know, the old school where she would say, it's no. Why? Because I'm the mom. That's why. Oh, I hated that. I hate it. Just give me a reason why. She wouldn't. She didn't need to. She was the mom. She didn't have to. So I said, when I have kids, I'm going to always give them the reason, because if I can appeal to their heart, I'm going to teach them something. Do you know what I found out when I had kids? There were times I couldn't explain. There were times all of a sudden I understood why my mom couldn't always explain. Because there's just some things that we know that they don't know. There's some things that I know, but they're not age appropriate to understand. I remember one time I don't even remember what it was, but I told Hunter, because Hunter's my one that Hayden pretty much can accept it. Hunter's very analytical, so he's got to know. And so I remember one time I said, Hunter, you know what? I want to explain it to you, but you're too young. So if you still remember this at 16, ask me again. Well, he's 16 now, and neither one of us remember, so I guess we're good. But, you know, I just remember, like, I can't really broach this subject yet. You just have to trust me. So we're teaching our children and grandchildren to obey sometimes just as a trust thing, because one day they're going to have to obey God and not understand. And so we have to do that. And, you know, the truth is, I hate it when mom said, I'm the mom, that's why. But, you know, God may not say it, but really he's God, that's why. I said it, that settles it. Like, we don't argue with me about this, right? And I can be okay with God when he says that, because I've been trained to be okay when mom said, I'm the mom, that's why, right? My dad he worked offshore half of my life, but he was like, whatever your mom said, that's it. You know, he's like, whatever she says, that's going to be the thing. And so I learned how to obey. And I learned how to trust authority even when I didn't understand or when I didn't get my way. That's even worse. When I want my way and don't get my way, I have to trust. So parents, we have a mandate here. We have to teach our children to obey. So it's not just about children obeying. It's about us teaching them. That says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The apostle gives us two reasons for a child to obey the parent. First, they are to obey in the Lord. This means that their obedience is part of the Christian obedience. In a similar way, I love this, how Paul said that the wives are to submit as unto the Lord. Remember last week we talked about wives submitting to your husbands as unto the Lord? So we do that even when we don't want to sometimes as unto the Lord. Children obey when they don't want to as unto the Lord, and it's our job to teach them to do that. When my kids were little, not that I have it right, and my kids are not perfect, but I just remember being so overwhelmed as a pastor's wife and these two little babies, and I remembered, I'm going to have to train them. So we literally, I mean, you can laugh at this because it's kind of funny, but we would literally sit on the sofa, and we would play like we're at church. And I put on some worship music, and what do we do while we're in church? Have you seen my boys worship in church? I would like to say that just happened. No, that was training. And I would say, okay, it's worship time. You stand up, you clap, you raise your hands, you praise the Lord, because that's what we do. Okay, now it's time for the preaching. You sit still and be quiet. And we would practice that. With Hayden, I would have to practice the practical stuff, like he would just take off running from us. I'd have to practice, like, I think I told y'all this, like, Hayden, freeze. We'd make a game out of it. Because I just thought one day he's going to start running from me in the street and he's not going to stop until we. So I trained him to, when I called his name in a certain voice and say freeze, that he would just stop. It was a game at first, but we did it over and over again to where in a situation I knew that he would respond like that. And so sometimes we have to do that with our children. We're going to practice this until you get it right. My boys will come to me now and they'll say, you know, yeah. I'm like, oh, no, excuse me. Yes, ma'am. No, let's try that again. Go back out the room. I'm going to say it again. You come back in. They're like, Mom. I'm like, it's training. Because I'm not a yeah, I'm a yes, ma'am. And so sometimes we have to get that. So if you think my boys are polite, I really didn't have much credit for it, except the Bible says I had to train them. And so I did. So it's not about me. It's just about being obedient to God. So grandparents, make them children obey you, because if I find out, I'm like, Mama, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't correct them, when I correct them, you're going to wish you would have, because I'm going to beat them. So you might as well take care of it before I do. You know, so we still have a responsibility to train. And I know it hurts our heart sometimes. I get that. But you know what? What hurts my heart even worse is when I see a kid not being obedient to the law or not being obedient to God. And so we got to train our children according to God's word. Train them in the Lord, for this is right, Paul's saying. Okay, let's go on. The second reason we train them is because it is simply right for a child to obey their parents. And then it says this. It says, honor, verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What it means to honor our father and mother may change as we grow into adulthood, but the principle always endures. The adult child does not owe the parent obedience, but they do owe the parent honor. And I looked up the word honor just for definition, and it said high respect as for worth, merit, or rank. And so because this is not the children in here I'm talking to, it's the adults, I just thought I'd go this. You know, if you are blessed to still have your parents with you, we may not owe them obedience, but at this stage in life, we owe them honor. And we should always honor our parents. And you know, that I get, now that I'm at a stage where we're starting to take care of our parents, I get how that's a little more difficult than it used to be. When it didn't cost us anything, it was easier to honor them. Now it's almost the roles become reversed, and it's a little bit harder. But it still doesn't negate the fact that the Bible says honor your father and mother. No matter what you're doing for your father and mother, honor your father and mother. And so we have to remember that. Like that promise is still for us. It's not just for our kids. Like honor if you want a long life, which I would tell my kids when they were young, I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now why it says that. Because if you don't honor, you're going to go see Jesus today. You want a long life, you better, you know, but she's kind of joking with them. But listen, there's a promise there. There is a promise there for that. And as we get older and we are adults now, with our parents, we still owe them honor. Because because they deserve it, maybe they don't. Maybe you have a parent who don't deserve honor. But the Bible still tells us to honor our parents. And so, as unto the Lord, how about we do it like that, right? Even if it's hard. It's fairly easy for us, but I know some, it could be very painful to do that. The first commandment with a promise. Paul reinforced this idea with a reference to the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy, where God promised to bless the obedient child. Christians have normally divided the Ten Commandments into the first four, which directs toward God, and the last six, which directs toward fellow man. But the Jews divided the commandments into two sets of five, seeing that the law to honor your father and the mother more as a duty toward God than as a duty toward man. I thought that was interesting when I found that today or yesterday when I was studying, because, you know, when you read the Ten Commandments, if you just reading through them, the first four looks like that's what we for God. Then the last six is what we do here on earth. But actually the Jews and their custom, it was five and five. They saw that honoring your parents, obeying our parents, honoring as unto the Lord. So I thought that was interesting how in that culture, how they were written, it was written in that culture, how they saw that. Any questions, any thoughts? Good? Okay. All right, Ephesians 4. Fathers, do not provoke or exasperate. I think it says provoke here. Your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not provoke your children. Parents certainly have the opportunity to provoke their children through an unkind, overcritical attitude that torments a child instead of training them. But Christian parents should never be like that. This harsh kind of parenting Paul speaks against gives an unnecessary justification to a child's natural rebellion. When you are disciplining a child, you should first have controlled yourself. What right have you to say that your child, that he needs to be disciplined when you obviously need it yourself? Okay, so in this point here, especially when I was little, Hayden was the one that I would have to send to his room for about an hour before I could go discipline him because I probably would physically have hurt him. But I also knew that according to God's word, I should never discipline out of anger. And boy, that's really hard to do sometimes. It's really hard in the moment not to do. And even now that my kids are older and we're not disciplining that kind of way anymore, it's even for me more than for Mo, I'm the one that tends to want to get them riled up because I forget sometimes they're men and not women, and so I want to explain it, you know, in excruciating detail, and they can't stand that. So I have to remember that all that I'm learning, how men's brain works in my marriage class, applies to my boys too, because they have their boxes. And I could see sometimes where I get, especially Hayden, I get him very frustrated because he's like, I heard you say it the first time, but you haven't moved yet. But I will. But you haven't. But I will. So we go this back and forth thing, and I get where I am like, so finally Mo's like, okay, you two, that's enough. Because if I don't, because I says fathers here, but it's mothers too. We have to be very careful. You know, I remember Hayden was my strong-willed child growing up. Not so much anymore, but he was very strong-willed when he was young. And I remember thinking this, like, I have to make sure he understands. So much so that I had somebody tell me one time, you need to be very careful that you bend his will without breaking it. Look, I wanted to snap it. I didn't want to just break it. I wanted to snap it and then use his will and beat him upside the head with. And I was like, okay, I have to, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. You know, in James, it says, those who lack wisdom, ask of the Father who gives generously. Boy, did I ask. I prayed that prayer every day. I still do, because now I have teenagers. I prayed it every day. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Because the last thing I want to do, you know, Hayden ran away one time. And it was literally because I think I pushed him too far. Wouldn't you think? We were going back and forth because I still think I'm right. He threw a football at my house and broke a lamp and then lied about it, and I lost my mind. Because I said, don't throw the ball at my house, right? So then he ran away, which he ended up getting on his bike and going to my friend's house, who called me and said, Hayden's here. But he tells a story that he ran away from home that one time. And so so we let him go with that. But all right, Hayden ran away one time. But it was, and listen, he was wrong, but I was wrong too. And I had to come back and apologize because I realized what I did was I provoked him to anger. And I never want that to happen again. Now, listen, I didn't have the whole scare of, I didn't know where he was at. That happened this last week at camp. But I didn't have the whole scare because by the time I even realized he was gone, Tanya had already called me and said, hey, Hayden's over here with no shoes on and it's like 30 degrees outside. So, but I would have been very scared if I didn't know where he was at. I would have been very scared knowing that I caused that. Right? And so we have to be really careful. And listen, parenting, I know I don't have a whole lot of young parents in here. I have some with some young boys and I know a lot of boys and some mom. But listen, we have to be very careful because God's entrusted those kids to us. And he wants us to raise him according to his word here. And so we have to be really careful to ask God for wisdom, to not break their will, to just bend it to conform with the will of God. And that's really a tough and very delicate, very fragile. Okay, training. Training is the same word because it says, let me go back to my scripture. Do not instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training is the same word translated chastening in Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. And I just got in parentheses, if we have time, read it. We probably don't, but if you take a notes, write it down because I went and read that today. It was so good. But it's the idea of training through corrective discipline. Instructing has more of the idea of teaching, but both are necessary. So training was what I was telling you that I used to have to do. You're going to sit on the pew, and we're going to put on worship music, and that's how we act during worship. And then we're going to sit there for some preaching. And we're going to sit still. We're not going to go to the bathroom. And I just train them to do that. Just train. I mean, with everything. We're going to go to a restaurant. You're going to sit in your chair. You're going to put your napkin on your lap. You're going to train them to do this kind of stuff. We have to train them how to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, be respectful. But then there's instruction. And instruction has more the idea of teaching. Both are necessary. Though it may be significant that training comes first. So we train and then we give them instruction. Hey, and you know what else? Just like with God, when God asks us to do something and sometimes has to take us around the same mountain four times before we get it because we're hard-headed too. Just remember that God blesses obedience. So we have to bless our children when they're obedient. We have to make sure they know that they made our heart happy. And that they make God's heart happy. I had two little boys at camp this week. When I was at camp last week, they were about 7 and 8 maybe. So they were fighting. So somebody brought them to the office. I was in the office. So I said, it went just like this. I said, it was Ben and Annie's little boy. I said, what happened? And I said, one of y'all talk at a time. I'm going to give you both a chance to talk. I want the story, but you don't talk while he's talking. So he says, this is a little boy just like this. He said, well, he called me a very ugly name. They were playing carpet ball. I said, well, what did he call you? He said, move over. That's the name he called you? Yes, very ugly. I said, and what did you do? He goes, I just punched him. Just like, I just punched him. I said, okay. So the little boy, what did he do? He goes, I told him to move over and he punched me. It was the same thing. So we did this whole teaching. So I did this whole teaching to him about, okay, well, first of all, if you put your hands on somebody else, I'm going to put my hands on you and you ain't going to like it, okay? Now, how could we have handled this better? You know, so he's like, because I knew his mom and daddy, so I knew I could have spanked his behind. I was like, how can we do this better? He was like, I could have, maybe he didn't mean it ugly to say move over. I said, did you lose at carpet ball? Yeah. So just training them. Okay, I walked their little selves right on outside to the carpet ball table. I said, let's recreate the scenario. Show me what happened. Now you say to him, move over. And what are you going to say? You say, is his game over? I walked him through the whole thing. It probably took 15 minutes of my time. But we're called to train. And so training takes time. And giving them instruction takes time. Now, I couldn't do that to all 300 kids at camp. But, hey, they happened to come in the office for discipline when I was in there. So it's what happened. Okay. So both training and instructions are used to describe the purposes in scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 10:11, if you want to write that down, talks about how to train in the instruction of scripture. So I'm going to give it to you again. I'm not going to go there for time, but 2 Timothy 3:16, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Parents are to raise their children on the word of God. And it talks about that, training and instructing our kids. And so we need to do that. Okay, now let's move on to 5-8. So now we're moving on from parenting to how to be employees and employers at work. Any questions on kids and parenting? Man, we sure don't have all the answers, but I have several great books. And then my favorite scripture to pray for wisdom if you're parenting, or bless you if you're grandparenting and raising kids. Man, so that's not easy, but you know what? The fruit is great. The fruit of that. The fruit of me not killing Hayden. I'm so enjoying the teenage years with him because I didn't kill him. And he's very respectful, you know, and so it's worth it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And so. Yeah. I have several resources. If anybody needs any, if you know anybody needs a creative correction, I use that a lot. Because that was just correcting according to God's word. So everything had like a mouth offense if they said a bad word, or if they were smart talking, sassy. It was a mouth offense. So they had scriptures for that. Bringing up boys is another good one. The strong-willed child, I have all those. Man, I read all of it. I read everything I could get my hands on because I wasn't over my head. I was raised with two sisters, and my dad worked offshore, so he was gone half the time. So I have these two little boys, and I don't even know what to do, but God's been faithful. He's been faithful. Okay. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Let's read that. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each of one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. You know, in this context, Paul was right, and there was a lot of slavery back then. And so, but it would be the same context today as working for your employer. Or if you're an employer, we'll talk about that in a minute. So when Paul's writing this, he's writing it in that context. But we're going to take it in the context of working for our employers, okay? I wanted to read it out of the message real quick because I just thought it was good. Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are slave or free. So what Paul's talking about here is that slaves is to be obedient as to Christ. As to Christ changes our whole perspective as workers. It reminds us that our work can and should be done as if we were working for Jesus, because we are. Not only to win favor when their eye is on you, but to work with eye service, like working like only when the boss is looking. Or as men pleasers. What Paul's saying is, you know, it's one thing to do the job right when people are watching. It's a whole nother thing to do it right when nobody's watching. You know, we actually call that integrity or character. You know, character is who you are when nobody else is looking. Integrity is what you do when nobody else is looking. And it's the same thing here. And what Paul's saying is, hey, guys, you represent Christ. Remember I told you the story about the shirt the lady had on and she was hollering at her kid, acting all crazy in Walmart? And I came around and she had on that shirt that said a church she went to. And I was like, if you're going to wear the shirt, don't act like that. Or if you have a bumper sticker on your car, don't be trying to cut nobody off and, you know, giving them the one salute finger. Because we are representing Jesus. And so, guys, same thing at work. And I know it's hard because I've worked. Listen, he knows it's hard. He did it this last year and a half. But I've worked out in the public too. And sometimes it's just really hard. But, you know, God takes great notes. And even if no one else sees what you're doing your job right, God sees and he will reward. You know, I always tell this story, not because we knew anything of what we were doing, but you know how we got into youth ministry? So, you know, we got into full-time ministry. We became youth pastors. You know how that happened? Because we have secular degrees. It happened because we would go set up the youth chairs, 100 youth chairs, every Wednesday night and have to take them down because they had daycare in there. We shared our youth room with daycare. So every Wednesday we would go set up the youth chairs and every Wednesday we'd take them down. Then our pastor asked us to turn, hey, y'all are here every Sunday night. After when an altar call, could y'all just go turn off all the air conditioners? You'll save thousands of dollars if you do that. So we thought we're saving the church thousands. Nobody told us. We weren't trying to get a job. He got accepted to med school. We were moving. But we were doing it as unto the Lord. We thought it was the best thing in the world. We got to set up chairs on Wednesday, and we got to turn off air conditioners on Sunday night. And then little did we know, the next thing we know, he's asking us to be the youth pastors. And I remember what he told us. We're like, Brother Moore, we don't even know what we're doing. We're going to med school. He said, you have a servant's heart. That's how you're promoted in the kingdom. Without even trying. That's how you're promoted. We just serving, just doing what I'm known to do. Listen, you're getting paid for a job, whether you're getting overpaid, underpaid, not paid at all. You're getting paid for a job. I worked at camp last week, and Charlie did bless me with an offering at the end that I did not know I was getting or expecting. And I remember at one point thinking, man, I am working harder than I've worked in a long time, probably since 2 years ago at camp. I'm working like this is my camp, and like everything is going to rise and fall on if this camp is successful of my career, right? And then I just thought, I don't have to. Wait, no, I want to. I want this to succeed. There's 300 little kids here. Like, I want this to succeed. And the Lord will be proud. Now, at the end, I did get a reward, but I didn't know I was getting that. And, guys, I'm not just bragging on myself. Listen, that came from training. That came from, you know what, God, I know that doing the right thing always ends up being the right reward, whatever that is. It may be my washing machine lasting for 25 years. It may be my car, you know, having 300,000 miles. But he's going to take care of me because my heart is right. And that's what Paul's saying here. Hey, guys, just do it right. He's talking to the Ephesians, but he's talking to us in Berwick. If you're going to represent Christ, if you're going to be strong and healthy, you can't just be strong and healthy in one area. You got to do it in every area. You got to be who you are on your job. You got to be who you are in your church. You got to be who you are at your kid's school, at sporting events. That's for Pastor Mo. He's so good at sporting events. Hey, by the way, we have the Berwick schedule out. So if you guys want to get a copy of that and come support the two boys, they both play in. So it'll be fun. Okay, so as to the Lord, let me finish up here, means that all of our work is really done unto the Lord, not unto man. Grace makes us servants of God while we are attending to the business of earth. Listen to that. Grace makes us the servants of God while we are still the servants of men. It enables us to do the business of heaven while we're still here on earth. We are doing the business of heaven. Whatever you're doing every day at your job, you are about the business of the Father. You are doing the business of the kingdom. And if you look at it that way, you might have a different perspective on it. Like today, I'm about the Father's business. I'm going to go do what he's called me to do, and that may be 8 to 5, punching in, punching out, whatever, but I'm going to be about the Father's business. And I'm not going to miss an opportunity to do what he's called me to do. And I'm going to do it with gladness of heart. There's going to be a people somewhere who's going to really represent the bride of Christ. Why not us? Why can't we be that church? Not for pride's sake, but for the Father and his glory's sake. To say, you know what? We really are Christians. We really do live what we believe. We live it out loud and on purpose because we love. We're going to love people. We're going to love our employers. We're going to love our jobs. And we're not going to get into the work gossip. Don't fall prey to that. And look, it may be truth. My first job, man, I learned a hard lesson with that. There was my bosses were Christians, and I was 19, but I was in college still, and I was working for this company, and all of a sudden, there was some riffraff going on, and I got sucked into that. And it was true, and I got sucked into that, and I almost lost my job. And I learned right then that I don't care who you are. If it ain't right, it ain't right, and I'm going to say it ain't right because it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it to lose your Christian witness because of maybe fact or not fact, but getting sucked into that. We are representing Christ with whatever we do. There's one part of the Bible that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Listen, I'm one of the hardest working people I know. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it 150%. Because number one, I was trained that from young. And number two, because I want to be pleasing to the Lord. And we only have a short time to do this, right? So Paul's saying, hey guys, slave or free, do it as unto Christ. Okay. Let me see. Let me finish up here. This connects, right before I go to verse 9, this connects to an interesting principle. When people are born again, their life changes and they become harder workers and less wasteful. And they are blessed, thereby become prosperous. I want you to listen to this. When people get saved, their life changes, they become harder workers and less wasteful because they know now they become kingdom-minded. And then because of that, they get blessed and become prosperous. That's how it works. But after becoming prosperous, we often allow our hearts to grow far from God. And then God has to discipline us with hard times. And then we repent. And then the cycle starts again. This is not a necessary cycle, but it's a common one. So when you're doing things right and God blesses, hey, just remember, he's the one who blesses. Don't forget about him. Don't get far from him. Don't think it's you and your own ability. You know, it's every day a good reminder to tell ourselves, it's just scandalous that he would use me. It's just, I could blow his name. I could mess this up anytime. And he knows that and still chooses to co-labor with me. It's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. Man, that'll keep you humble. Like, I could really blow this. One, you know, as a teen challenge, I talk to these girls. I'm like, you know, the difference between me and you is a choice. One choice. I'm one choice away from being right where you're at. One choice. Man, that'll keep you humble. I'm one choice away from being about that person in jail. One choice. We got to stay humble, and we got to just know that God's going to bless us for obedience. But when that blessing comes, stay humble. Stay humble. Matter of fact, you know, you do know why God blesses you, right? With prosperity. So that you can be a blessing to others. Yeah, but we think it's to keep up with the Joneses, which are usually bankrupt. Just saying. Who are you trying to keep up with? God blesses us to bless others. We're blessed to be a blessing. Okay. All right. And the last one I'm going to do tonight, verse 9. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there is no favoritism with him. So let me just touch that for a minute. So if you are the boss of your house, of your business, of your whatever, we need to treat the people who work for us, the people who live with us, the same way as we would treat ourselves. We do the same things that we, like, hey, here's what I still say, but I would say this at camp all the time. I had my staff at camp, and I'd say, hey, guys, it's a dirty job. Listen, them little kids, man, they don't flush the toilet. They hot. They stinky. They throwing up. They, you know, it's a lot of kids. And this is what I tell my staff. We're going to do whatever we need to do, and I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not willing to do. So every summer, I was cleaning out toilets. Matter of fact, I started making them sleep in the dorm one night just so we wouldn't forget, because we want to treat people with respect. And so if you are a leader at your company, at your job, and your whatever, your house, whatever you're leading, whatever you are in charge of, if you're the master of that, if you're not willing to do what you're asking people to do, you're not a great leader. And I'm only have the authority to say that because of Jesus. He did what he asked his disciples to do. He did what he asked us to do. Matter of fact, he did more than he's asking us to do. And so to be a good master, we have to be a good servant. And we have to serve the people who work with us. And we have to respect them. And that's what Paul's saying here. Listen, when you think you're something because you're the boss, just remember, both of you have the same boss, the same master. So while we get on this high horse, we're going to tell everybody what to do and take our authority to our head, we both answer to the same person at the end of the day, right? And so we have to be conscious of that. And we have to be people with integrity. Employers are also to give, we shouldn't be threatening. We shouldn't be using forms of harsh punishment. They do this knowing that they are the employees of their master in heaven. Like, we know we're going to have to answer. So we need to be make sure that we are treating people with the same respect that we want to be treated. And I put this in, I found this new version yesterday called CEB. No, B. Common English Bible. I never heard of it, but I listen to this. Listen to what it says. As for masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Stop threatening them because you know that both you and your slaves have a master in heaven. He doesn't distinguish between people on the basis of status. I love that. He doesn't say, well, because, you know, your last name is Seneca, then you're a little more special than Dinger. No, we're all on the same plate. We're all servants. And that's how we should treat our employees. And so I just have to touch on this because, you know, I always say that I am God's favorite. And I know the scriptures say in three different places, by the way, if you didn't know, that God shows no favoritism. And he doesn't, except you're all his favorite. So if you think I'm his favorite and you're not, you're just not believing the word. Because he gave his life for all of us. I just choose to believe that he gave his life for me, and that makes me his favorite. It's like my grandma. You know, we all her favorite. But she didn't tell us that we were all her favorite together. She tells us individually, and we all felt it. It's the same way with God. God doesn't show any favoritism. He loves us all the same. Just some of us choose to really believe him. Some of us really choose to believe that he loves us that much, that we're the apple of his eye. Like, I just choose to believe that. I just sometimes get really naive and think that his eye is on me all the time, because it is. I choose to believe that. Like, I choose to believe he's watching my every mood. I've had a bad attitude today, which my husband has told me. I knew that. More importantly, I knew that God knew it. Matter of fact, at one point today, I said, God, I know you see how bad this attitude is. I don't even know what to tell you to do with it. Like, it's just bad. Like, I know you, I understand you are zeroed in on me 24/7, and you see this bad attitude. I know I need to do something about it. Guys, he loves us. He doesn't show any favoritism as far as I'm more blessed than you, but he shows favoritism to all of us, that my eye is on you, and I'm concerned about what's happening with you. And Paul is telling us this here as our masters are saying, don't be all hoity-toity, is that a good word? To think that you're something that you're not. Because God, we're all the same to God. We're all his children. But the truth is, he loves us all. He loves us all, and he's going to take care of us, and he's going to bless obedience. And that's what we're talking about here. Hey, right after that, Paul goes, this is what it says. I'm not going to get into this, but listen, I was getting so excited today, I almost couldn't contain it before my attitude got bad. Right after that, he says, there is no favoritism with him. And then verse 10, Paul says, finally. You know, I was getting excited because he goes into the armor of God. And I think Paul was like, you know, okay, I done talked about, you know, everything in Ephesians we done talked about. I done talked about what God lovingly adopts us. He loves us despite our sinful nature. He loves us because even when we're not living according to our calling, like, here's how he wants you to treat husbands and wives. Here's how he wants you to treat believers together in unity. Here's how he wants you to treat your children and our parents. And here's how, then he goes, okay, whew, finally, I'm going to get to the good stuff. And so I cannot wait. I was getting excited because you know what? It all boils down to next week. The armor of God, fighting the spiritual battle and being prepared for that. And all the stuff Paul gave us was so good. but it's going to be a finally. A finally, let me leave you with these last words. Suit up and fight. There is a real enemy of your soul out there, and you need to know how to fight. So that's for next week. Hey, one announcement I do. Any questions? Everybody knows how to discipline now? We all good? Grandparents, you're going to start trying? Just try, grandparents. Just try. Just try to discipline. Okay. Hey, also, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you are 55 and over, which we're getting closer and closer to, we're going to start in August. Every month, we're going to have a senior adult luncheon for you. So just know that, and it's going to be fun, and I got some good surprises lined up that you're going to love, and so just know that. So that's something coming down the pike. Also, Ladies Bible Study starts up at the end of August. You don't want to miss that, and do y'all want to know what it is? How much time we got? Oh, I'm 1 minute past. Okay, so I was praying, and I narrowed it down to three, and I had a few ladies praying with me, and so the one we're doing was not one of the three. Because I was like, okay, God, I'm giving you three choices. Which one you want me to pick? And it was none of the above. And so when I was, real quick, when I was at a time in my life, I was about 28, when I had to get to the place in my life where I had to know what I believed for me. I say it like this. I had to find my Jesus. Because I knew the Jesus of my parents. And I was about 28, and I tell the story like this. You know the old story where they cut off the ends of the roast and put it in the pot? And they wondered, like, why do we do that? I don't know. We always did it. That's how Mama taught me. That's how Grandma taught me. And come to find out, it's because they didn't have a pot big enough for the roast. So I found that I was cutting off the ends of the roast and throwing them away because we always did that. So about 28, I started on this journey of just discovering. Like, I just took all my beliefs, basically, and just laid them out and said, okay, I don't even know why I believe this. So I need to know why I believe what I believe. And so it was about a 2 or 3 year process where okay, why do I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why do I believe in salvation? Why do I believe in sanctification and holiness? And why do I believe that? Why did I believe that? Why didn't I believe that? And I just kind of started going through this process. And the Lord, during that time, there's a whole lot more into this testimony. During that time, the Lord took me to a Bible study called, it was my very first Beth Moore Bible study ever. And it was called Believing God. And he said this to me. He said, if you can get this foundation, you will never question what you believe again. And I've done that Bible study 4 times. And so when the Lord, that wasn't even one of the three. And the Lord told me to do that. So I started praying about it. And I said, Lord, okay, I've already done it. They probably have all done it because we own it. And God said, you know what? It's a new season. This is a new day. What's happening in Berwick has been, they've been at a standstill. He says, but it's a new day. And if the foundation is not solid, it will never stand. So we're going to do believe in God. And we're going to know what we believe. And we're going to suit up. And I'm going to get a new book. I'm not even going to use my old. I'm getting a new book, and I'm going to do it like I've never done it before. And I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about it. And it changed my life. And I just believe that God is smart enough to give me some brand new revelation my 5th time through. So I'm excited. I'm excited to go through it with you. I hope every lady can do that. You'll be hearing more about that coming up soon. So I just want to let you know about that. Okay, that's it for me.